Welcome to the Construction Industry Podcast. Fresh ideas for today's construction professional. The Construction Industry Podcast is brought to you by Remontech, Remote Monitoring Technologies. Find us on the web at constructionindustrypodcast.com.
Hello everybody, once again, my name is Cesar Abade, and this is the Construction Industry Podcast, a podcast dedicated to helping you as you navigate the waters of the construction industry. Whether you're looking to start your career, looking to increase your professional knowledge, or if you're a construction project or business owner, this is the show for you. Today's show is specially dedicated to those in the construction industry who own their business. On the feature segment, I'll speak with Albert Hathazi from the Local Method website and podcast on becoming a market leader in your community. And on the tech tip, you'll learn of a new tool that will tell you the most efficient way to get from point A to point B. Hello, everyone, and welcome once again. Today, I'm recording this podcast from a hotel room in Washington, D.C., so forgive me for the poor audio quality here. And it was a gorgeous day today, and we just got a new contract with a new client over here, and I spent the day today taking care of the installation of a couple of cameras on the top of a building. It was pretty cool for monitoring their construction project. Now, D.C., is a very unique place. I've never been here before, and I'm really enjoying it. It's very unique. It's like a mix of American history, like very raw, you know, and authentic American history. You can see it in the buildings, and it's mixed with politics, and there's a lot of security everywhere. And of course, there's lots of construction going on. So I'll be here for another day or so, and then I'll drive back to Canada. In other news, I'm just back from another trip to the U.S. and I was in Dallas for the Construction Owners Association of America Spring Conference. I mentioned this on the last episode that I was going there, and I did, and it was awesome. It was, and I'll share more about it on the next episode. And on the next episode, because I'll have two interviews that I conducted live from the conference. And but for now, I can tell you that the Construction Owners Association of America, or COA, as they call it, is a great organization in which construction owners collaborate in a very cool environment. It's an environment of learning and sharing. The sessions were very collaborative, and all speakers were fellow members of the association. So usually at these conferences, you'll have, you know, like a rock star speaker that is brought in or paid to give like a keynote or some sort of special presentation. And I was almost expecting that. And that wasn't the case. You know, all the sessions were conducted by fellow members of the association. And so there was this sense of intimacy, and people knew each other from previous conferences and from belonging to the association. So, and they covered a variety of great topics. There were breakout sessions and roundtable discussions. I was there taking notes like crazy. It was great. So stay tuned for the next episode, episode 23, when I'll talk about it more extensively, and I'll bring you the interviews that I conducted there. Now, the other thing I'd like to share is not really related to construction at all, but I'm really excited about it. It's kind of personal, but it's really cool. And as some of you may know, because you follow my Twitter and Facebook, in the last few weeks, I had been using an iPhone app to help prepare me for running a 5 kilometer race. To some of you, this may not seem like much, but for me it is, and you have to understand, I was never a runner, right? I grew up with asthma, and grew up in Brazil, where, you know, everybody plays soccer, so I grew up playing soccer every day, so you would think that I could run, but I really struggled, you know, growing up, and so this was a big deal to me. And that app, I'll put a link on the show notes to the app. It's called Run 5K, and it basically builds you up. You know, it has you running every other day or three times a week over 9 weeks, I believe. and he builds you up slowly. It's almost like a coach. And it really worked for me. So now I'm proud to say that I completed my first 5K race ever 2 weekends ago during the Toronto Marathon 2012. So for those of you who have commenting and encouraging me on Twitter and on Facebook as I posted my progress, thank you. That was it meant a lot to me. And knowing that you were there following my progress created an accountability for me in my mind, which was really crucial for me to stick with the plan. So thank you. Now, back to today's great episode. Albert Hathazi produces the Local Method podcast and is a marketing consultant. Making his home in Thunder Bay, Ontario, he works with business owners and entrepreneurs to help them harness their online marketing and become market leaders in their community. His unique 5-step market leadership system helps his clients make a difference in their bottom line. 3 years ago, Albert started studying internet marketing and soon realized the tremendous opportunity local businesses were missing by not participating in this online side to their marketing. He's a member of the largest community of local business marketers in the world and is continuously learning and implementing the ever-evolving strategies so his clients don't have to. Albert spoke to me from his office in Thunder Bay, Ontario, Canada. Enjoy the interview.
And now, our feature segment.
Hello, Albert. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic.
Thank you for doing this, my friend. We've been talking about this for a while, and you and I are both members of the Podcast Mastermind. So we've known each other for, I don't know, a couple months now?
Yeah.
And I really like your podcast. I think you have a lot of good information there, so I decided to have you on the show.
Thank you.
I think the audience will really enjoy this. So we're going to talk about becoming a market leader in your community. And so this interview is more specifically for the business owner, the construction business owner, who is trying to stand out, right?
Exactly.
So, and you sent me here a little document here, and you're going to talk about 5 steps on becoming a market leader. So mm-hmm. How about we go through those steps and then we can have a little conversation around them. What do you say?
Yeah, I think it's great. Let's start off with the definition of a market leader.
Okay.
Now, this is a definition that I change as I, get more focused on this field. So a company or professional that has used a market authority in their clearly defined market is a market leader. They're kind of viewed as the go-to person. Okay? You do this by differentiating yourself from the competition in a few ways. You offer your services in unique ways from your competitors. Your business is visible both on and offline. And you educate your target customers. That's a really big difference. Mm-hmm. And when you reach becoming a market leader, price is no longer the main concern. And you are attracting your ideal customers to your business.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
And
I can relate to that because we provide a service here that is not, well, depending on the circumstances, it's not considered cheap. But because we've been doing this for a while and we try to educate the client, we have a podcast, who else is doing mm-hmm. that? I can tell that when people want to hire us, price is not really an issue. Mm-hmm. It's just, okay, I know that Caesar and Remontech, they can do this. They've done it before. I trust them, and let's go for it.
Yeah. The biggest, obstruction I find when I talk about this with people is they're afraid that their competitors are going to find out about the way they do business. When I say you're educating your customers. Mm-hmm. But the fact is that they're still not going to be doing that. Many people just don't have the, the wherewithal or the enthusiasm to do that. So when you do that, you really stand out. And that's what you're doing with your podcast, which is fantastic.
And that's, so it's, you would,
would you say that it's kind of it's somewhat easy to become a market leader because people are not really doing these things? Your competition, are they're not doing these things?
Well, there's opportunity. Let's say that. Yeah. I don't think it's easy.
Okay.
You kind of have to have a plan, and then some of these steps are really easy to implement, mm-hmm. and a lot of people aren't doing them. So let's begin.
Okay.
The first thing I would do if you're a construction company is in your area, write down who would be your top competitors, and then open up your browser and start doing a search. Type in some of the search terms, you know, construction, London, or building construction, et cetera, all the industry terms.
Mm-hmm. The keywords.
In your city, yeah, and see who's coming up. Are you even in there? You know, that's the very first place to start. And I would even put it on a spreadsheet. You know, who's coming up first? Who's coming up second? Where is the link going to? Mm-hmm. You know, that's probably the very, very first thing. Another good place to check is on YouTube. Are there any other companies doing videos talking about their services, talking about the way their services are delivered? YouTube is the second largest search engine. And if a company's done a good job, even when you do a regular Google search, some YouTube videos should come up. Mm-hmm. That's a good tactic. Mm-hmm. So imagine if your company was on the first page maybe 5 or 6 times. That's totally possible when you do it correctly.
Right. Now, yeah. And And this is why I get excited about this, is the construction companies, yeah, you're going to have some, you know, usually the larger ones will have nice websites, nice YouTube channels, but the smaller companies, they don't really do this, you know? So mm-hmm. if you're willing to take this step and have a decent looking YouTube channel or a website, or if you're worrying about where you rank on Google, that's a huge benefit.
Mm-hmm. You could compete with the big boys.
Right.
You know, if you do it, yeah. Especially if you're giving out good information that is answering the common questions that your customers have. That's a little secret. Mm-hmm. You know, what are the most common questions that your customers have? And if you could answer those, you automatically start becoming a market leader there. Mm-hmm. Another good place to check to see what's going on in your industry is LinkedIn. LinkedIn is it's a well-used platform. However, it's not totally being used, so you could see what's happening there.
Yeah.
Okay, let's move on to the second step. Once you do that, this is probably one of the most essential steps out there, is getting your business into Google Places. You heard of Google Places?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Now, you could go to Google Places by going into www.google.com/places. You could learn all about it there. Mm-hmm. Okay, it'll give you some tools and tips, but let me shortcut the process for you.
Okay.
You're going to need a Gmail account with your business.
Okay, well, let me backtrack just a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Is this, I said I know about Google Places, but maybe I'm sure there are people listening that they don't. Is this when you search for, let's say, a barber, mm-hmm. and it shows your local barbers first on the search results?
Yes. Yeah.
Is that what that is? Okay.
Yeah, I should backtrack. Google Places has become a priority for Google because they want to emphasize local search results before anything. Okay. Before, that wasn't the case. You were in London, Ontario, you would type in, you know, leather shoes. You may get something in a different town. You may get something that's not relevant. Mm-hmm. Now, if Google wants to stay competitive, they want the users to get the best experience possible. So they switched their emphasis to local search. Now, Google Places is where you get to put your company in with all the details, and I'll go into those in a second. And those are the results that come up with, you see, they call them teardrops, those little, they're upside down teardrops.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and there'll be a pack of 7 of them, usually on the first page. When you type them in. Now, your business should definitely go, and we call it claiming their Google Places listing. If you go to the link that I just talked about, it'll tell you exactly how to do that.
Okay. I'll have a link. I'll have the link on the show notes for this episode.
Good. Good. Now, I just want to go over some of the key things you want to fill out. What's really cool about Google Places, it does give you a percentage of how much of your profile you filled out. So it's a guide, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But the key things you want to look at are the description of your business. You want to put in in the description the city that you're covering or the area. We definitely want to put in some of the keywords, for example, construction or the specialized type of construction that you do, because that is part of Google. So Google is going to be crawling that. And when people search, it's going to help pull up your listing. Another key thing is you want to have pictures. It allows you to put 10 pictures up there. And what I would do, another tip there is on the picture, get one of your staff or a graphic artist to put your website and your telephone number on the picture. So when that comes up, people will see that right away.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. And it allows you to put 5 videos as well. So this is where your YouTube channel gets tied in there. And I don't know if your listeners know, but of course, YouTube is owned by Google. Uh-huh.
Yeah, we had an episode on using YouTube a few episodes back. So we talked extensively about how to, best practices. And okay. I think we brought that up, that YouTube belongs to Google.
Okay, yeah. So you want to make sure you do that. Now, if you're hung up on what type of video to do, you could get a video done online, a slideshow type video for probably $50 or less. If a college kid, you get it done for free. But your videos could be anything about showing your office, showing your procedures, your unique way of delivering your service, or even just slideshows.
Mm-hmm. One thing that we did, Albert, because we generate time-lapse videos for construction projects, so mm-hmm. we have a YouTube channel just with maybe I think it's like 5 or 6 of these time-lapse videos, and we get traffic to our website from YouTube because of them, and what I haven't done is to add them to Google Places, and that's a good idea. I'm going to do that today.
Awesome. Yeah, it's really easy to do, especially if you got the link, Mm-hmm. Now, another trick at a little bit deeper level is rotate your images and possibly even your videos if you can on a monthly or bi-monthly basis. Keep your content fresh there.
Okay.
And make sure you name your videos and your pictures with the keywords. So it would be London scaffolding or whatever your business is.
So you mean the name of the file or the name of... Okay.
Yeah, and of course, your videos always should be named not randomly. They should be named very specifically, and your descriptions should be keyword rich as well. Mm-hmm. Now, that's Google Places, and you'll see the other particulars you could fill out there as you claim your listing. And like I said, there's going to be the percentage. The other thing there's a few more things to Google Places, but this is the key, is to get your listing to the 100% completion level. You want to get reviews. That's probably the next biggest thing. If you could get some of your best customers, your happy customers, to leave you an honest review on Google Places, people will see everybody that leaves a review. So let's say someone searches and there's that 7 listing of the Google Places we talked about. The ones that have reviews will be noted differently. Mm-hmm. So that makes you stand out again from the crowd.
Very good. So,
yeah.
Makes sense.
Really interesting.
And the reviews, I'll tell you how I use it. When I travel a lot for work, and I'm really crazy about sushi. and sushi, if it's really good, it's really good. But if it's bad, it's really bad. So when I'm in a town I've never been before, I just go to, let's say Google or some other food finding websites, and I'm typing sushi. And obviously, I'm gonna try the restaurants that have the best reviews, right? Especially if it's sushi, because they just stand out if they're set up properly on Google Places. You just can't help but click it. As opposed to just a little dot that has nothing or no description of any kind.
Do you look for the ones with the reviews and the stars?
Yes.
Yeah.
And then I go and see, okay, do they have any bad reviews? And I read those first, because mm-hmm. those sometimes could be the showstopper, right? Like,
yeah.
But yeah, I mean, it works for restaurants. It should work for other industries as well.
Yeah, restaurants is one of the places where you see a lot of the companies, they are aware of this. Because for some reason, people like to leave reviews for restaurants, but they won't leave a review for their chiropractor or...
Yeah. Yeah, but you can always ask, you know? Like,
that's it. You have to ask. Yeah. You have to let people know. And not everyone's going to do it, but some people are.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to help you.
And you'd be surprised. Like a couple of years ago, we decided to ask for some reference letters from our past clients. And I was like, oh, well, you know, who's going to take the time? And you'd be surprised, you know, especially if they liked the service you provided.
Mm-hmm.
They'll be happy to. And, you know, if you're in construction, sometimes you need to have them. You know, you need to have them when you bid for jobs. So why not just ask whoever provided you with the reference letter to say, listen, can you... add maybe paragraph 2 of this letter here on Google Places for me. I think it'd be great, you know.
Mm-hmm. That's a good tactic.
So
good. So that's Google Places. Let's move on to your website. Now, you said that not all of the companies have, you know, modern, up-to-date websites.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Now, you don't have to get super fancy, but there's some key things you want to have on a website. And one of the things I really recommend people do is have a place on your website where you could collect email addresses. And your email addresses that you collect are basically your prospects. But most of the time, you got to offer something for that email address. And here's some of the things I'd recommend. You could offer a personalized video, maybe talking about the history of your company and some of the happy customers in the video, you know, some testimonials, like you said. You could offer some special reports. Something that, again, those questions that most people ask you, answer those questions in a report. People will really appreciate that, and they will leave you their email address. Okay. And once you have their email address, you have something called an autoresponder. I don't want to get too technical, but the autoresponder is your automated system that'll send out a thank you for signing up to the email. And then every week, every couple of weeks, you could send some more helpful information, not please become a customer information.
Right.
Just something very helpful.
Mm-hmm. And if you go to our website, and there's an area there to subscribe to the podcast. Basically, that's what you're doing. You're giving me your email address so I can give you updates every time there's a new episode out. You know, mm-hmm. so I'm offering information and something of value to our potential clients.
Yeah, and you could throw in some bonuses that again will separate you from the crowd.
Mm-hmm.
Something you don't really tell you're going to give them, but something that they appreciate.
Right.
Now, when you got your website, that's your opportunity to also do something called SEO, which is the search engine optimization. That's where on the website, in the special coding, you're going to put in your keywords. Now, I know this wouldn't be the business owner doing this. This would be the people that would be doing their website. And the funny thing is, even here with my clients, when I start out with them, they have a website that's not bad, but the web developer had no idea how to put the keywords into the website.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like I look at it and say, do you realize that no one is going to find you?
Yeah.
You know, yeah, your website looks nice. You got a nice, you know, flashy thing if that's what you'd like. But the most important thing, your SEO isn't being done.
Mm-hmm.
So that's something you want to look at.
Yeah. This is a problem in the industry because a lot of, especially contractors' websites, they'll have pictures. They want to showcase pictures of their projects. You know, a nice building or a bridge. And it looks great. But really, Google doesn't care about that.
No.
That's what I tell people. I'd rather you have just a plain text website with no pictures, but full of good keywords and good content that so Google can find you. You know, and you can always add the pictures later, right?
Yeah. Yeah, and Flash, of course.
Flash animations
is not good because Google doesn't give any credit to your website for the keywords you're looking for.
Yeah.
And even if you are going to put pictures up, name the pictures, you know, London scaffolding services or something like that.
Right.
Related to your business.
Very good.
Now, one more thing on websites. I really recommend the WordPress platform. It's really not that complicated once you get the hang of it. Mm-hmm. And on that as well, if possible, you might want to consider putting a blog.
Okay, what's WordPress for the audience?
WordPress is called a CMS, which is a content management system. It's the format of your website. It's the service. WordPress is the most popular WordPress website platform. For example, you know, CNN is running on WordPress.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, so it's very capable, and you can make it look, you could actually customize the look to any way you want. And now with the blogging recommendation, the reason blogging is good because you update on a regular basis. Now, it doesn't have to be every day. It doesn't even have to be every week, really. A couple times a month. When you add new information to your site, for example, some of the projects you're working on, some of the new technology you have, a Google will crawl that site and see that you're actively updating it. Hmm. And Google likes that. And if Google likes it, the people searching for your services will like it because you will be moving closer to the top.
Mm-hmm. I think I read this somewhere that Google is trying to catch up to Twitter and Facebook because they have fresh content, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that's why Google prefers blogs over static websites, because it's just assumed that a blog is updated more frequently, and therefore mm-hmm. Google can offer people doing the searches fresher results in trying to compete with Twitter, for example. What do you think?
Yeah, I agree. Totally agree. I've seen it. Like even one of my clients who, the one I was talking about that didn't have their SEO done, because they blogged, their website was on top. Because they had, they didn't know they were doing it, you know, intentionally.
Mm-hmm.
But they were blogging, and Google loved it, and they were the first in the city because of that. Even though their on-site SEO was nowhere to be found.
Right. Interesting.
Yeah. Okay. Let's move on to a little bit of social media.
Okay.
And why you'd want to do it. Social media is today where people are, and when you properly set up social media, you are basically giving information the way your customers want to read it. Before, the web 1.0 was, you always had to go find, you know, this. You had to go to the web page. Nowadays, the information's coming to them on the way they want to read it. Again, doing research, you could use Twitter. Let's talk about Twitter for a second. You could go on Twitter, and you could search for your industry and the related terms, and you could learn so much about your business by doing that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and some of the, I'll give you just a couple of social sites I'd recommend you look into. Twitter is the first because of the fact that it contains most likely some of the top people in your industry, close to your industry. LinkedIn is another social media site you want to investigate. You know, our podcast today isn't about how to do that.
Uh-huh.
You could find a lot of tutorials online how to get started there.
Mm-hmm. In fact, episode 7 of the podcast, I just talk about LinkedIn the whole episode.
Okay.
So
awesome.
So we can check that out.
Yeah. And of course, on your social media sites, you want to use your keywords again, your city, your area that you work in, and your industry-specific terms. You know, put that in your descriptions and tweet about that, or update, make your updates with those terms as much as you can. Not too much, but every once in a while. Now, let's say you are on there. How often do you have to be on there? Well, it depends on your business, and it depends on your resources. If you have, let's say, an administrative assistant in the office, they can be trained to update maybe anywhere from 15 minutes a day to half hour a day, or even less, depending on the reach you want. Mm-hmm. And that's the good thing. You could offload that, I'm not going to call it a burden, but that activity to some of your staff members. And it's not something you got to be knee-deep in.
So what would you write on Twitter? What would you update it with?
Again, you want to talk about your industry. You want to talk about some of the projects you're working on.
Okay.
You know, you want to keep it real a little bit. Mm-hmm. And you want to maybe even share some other news about your industry. You know, some new technology that was developed. Even, you know, like you said, the Panama Canal in one of your podcasts. Mm-hmm. You know, I would be updating your followers regularly on how's that project going. You know, what's news from there? Mm-hmm. I don't know, Caesar, if you've ever talked about Google Alerts or getting feeds.
No, you can talk about it.
Yeah, you could set up, you could go to Google Alerts, just type that in Google, and you could set up these alerts for your industry. So the alerts daily will be mailed to your inbox, and those are the information. That's the information that you could tweet out to your listeners or your followers.
Yeah, as an example, like I have a Google Alert set for my name, right? Mm-hmm. And my brands, right? So Raymond Tech, Construction Industry Podcast, yeah. And my Project Management for the Masses blog. And what every time any one of those terms is mentioned on the web and Google finds it, I get an email. Mm-hmm. So that creates an opportunity for me to engage with whoever posted that, right? So
yes. Yeah, and that's good.
It's a great thing.
Recommend all of the businesses listening do that. Uh-huh. So you could see what's being said about you. Mm-hmm. And hopefully it's fantastic.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's what those are the things that you could be tweeting out. And the beautiful thing about Twitter and what really excites me about Twitter is not just tweeting out and reading. I get excited when I get to interact with people. Isn't it exciting when someone mentions you or you know, starts a conversation on Twitter?
Oh, yeah.
That's what it's all about for me, honestly.
Yeah.
I like that. And then you get to do that too as a business.
That's right. And that's the thing too. Like if you want to, let's say you want to engage a person in your niche, you can mention them on Twitter and it immediately makes them turn their heads, right?
Yes.
Who is this person talking about me?
Yeah.
Because they get an email notification if you mention them, right?
Yeah.
So it works really well for me. Twitter and LinkedIn, for my experience, is fantastic. And it goes largely untapped, you know, depending on the industry you're in. Like if you're in, you know, software development, then there's a lot of people there. But construction, it's still kind of, there's a lot of opportunity there. You know, so if you're doing this, you're ahead of the game.
I agree. And of course, learning a little bit about Twitter is not enough. 5 minutes isn't enough.
Yeah.
It is, you know, keep it on your radar for sure. Now, that was just, that was step four, a little bit of social media. And of course, we could do probably 10 podcasts on that.
Right.
But let's go into sharing your message. And this kind of touches on what you were talking about. You know, pictures are things that you could share. Nowadays, you could take pictures, you could take interviews, you could take videos on your smartphone. They're that good. You know, the quality is that good. And these are the things that people want to see. They want to see the inside of the operation. They want to see you doing your thing. They want to see your technology, your people. They want to see your excitement, your passion for your business. You start spreading information like that, helpful information, not just tooting my horn information. Mm-hmm. You're going to start attracting those people that want to do business with you. You know, that goes right back to the first point we talked about. That's market leadership. Attracting people, not having to do a huge advertising campaign. Yeah,
and this is especially in the construction sector. You sign up for a mailing list of any kind, in anything related to construction, you're gonna get pitched on, You know, it's going to be some sort of ad that you're going to get, or magazines, you know, they want you to advertise there. So you get mailings like that. I don't see a whole lot of people providing good content that's useful, you know, so or content that's relatable, that you can relate to. It's always very corporate, very pitchy, you know. So I see and this is, you know, reason number 34, you know, that I'm doing this podcast is nobody's doing this. You know, be authentic, share your struggles, share your story, you know, with the audience, and people learn to like you. And, you know, I'm sure you're a likable person, you know, just nobody knows it, right?
The old way is not the way that's working these days.
Right.
So I got a challenge for your listeners. Come up, take a piece of paper and come up with five things that makes your business different than the competition. And once you got those five, start thinking about ways how you can communicate that with your market. Can you make a video? Can you make a little audio recording?
So think about five things that makes your business different than your competitors.
Yeah.
I'm sure that's really easy to do.
Sure, it should be.
Like, yeah.
You have to be different, right? Or else it always boils down to one thing, and that's price.
Right.
If you're the same, the only thing differentiating you is price.
Yeah. And honestly, to be honest here, that is sometimes a problem in our industry, because a lot of the jobs are awarded to the lowest bid. And, you know, there's not a whole lot of wiggle room there. But in any case, you know, eventually you want to move away from the kind of business. You know, that's the way I see it. We've done a little bit of that in the past, and it was not very good. Because, you know, it becomes a commodity what you do, right? And everybody's unique. So you just need to, my opinion, right, learn how to showcase that. And sell that aspect of your business, not just the price.
Yeah, communicate that.
So let's say, for example, my company is a small family business, right? And that's maybe something different about my company than other people doing similar services. How do you think I could share that in a positive way? Like I say that on the website that we're a family business, and I have our picture there. But you think that's a good start?
Yeah, it's definitely one way. You know, you could interview some of the family members involved in the business. You know, showing that they enjoy it, that they're part of a team, that they really care about the business. No one's going to care more than the family, most cases, right?
Right. Very good.
And then another opportunity is, how do you deliver your service that's different? So that's something you have to kind of look at on a case-by-case basis.
So if you follow these five steps, which, like, just a quick recap, it was step one, just where to start, right? Looking at doing Google searches, YouTube searches, and then setting up...
Put a spreadsheet together of your top five competitors and find out where they are online.
Okay. And then
yourself, yeah.
Right. And then step two, Google Places.
Yeah, Google Places is, you need it these days, because people are searching from their phones. And if you've got it optimized, you're going to come up there and your competitors won't.
Right.
They'll call you right from their phone with a press of one button.
That's right. And then step three is your website.
Collect the email addresses. Consider blogging. And consider doing a WordPress.
Right, or SEO, SEO That's efforts.
Yeah.
Step four, it's a social media blueprint, and we touched on that. It's a very large topic, but I think it was a good start. And then step five is sharing your message. Okay, what's your unique selling proposition? Right? What makes you different from the rest of the pack, and showcase that.
Exactly. Communicate it in different formats. Use pictures, use video. Use audio.
Perfect. Albert, this is a great set of tips here. If my audience wants to learn more about you and what you do, how do they get in touch with you?
Well, they can go have a listen to the my podcast. It's called The Local Method, and that's at thelocalmethod.com. And we go into deeper detail on many of these areas and some of the things that we haven't even talked about. If they want to email me, they could type, they could send me a message at Albert@thelocalmethod. And I do offer, this is kind of new, a free service that will analyze their market leader position. And they could find that at my www.mymarketaudit.com.
Okay. I'm going to have links to all this on the show Perfect. Notes, but mymarketaudit.com. And how much is this audit? Or is it, this is free?
This is free, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's... this is a checklist that I've used with my clients.
Okay.
And that was used on me. This is where I got the idea from. It was used on me to analyze where I stand.
Okay.
And this is something I'd like to offer to your listeners. It's not free.
Awesome. So mymarketaudit.com, and again, all the links will be on the show notes. Albert, thank you so much for taking the time and talking to me today. And I'm a subscriber of your podcast. I really enjoy it. And I recommend everybody listening to go on iTunes right now, subscribe, and then leave you a review. Thank you.
Thank you, Caesar.
Thanks, Albert. Have a good day.
You too.
Now, for this week's tech tip, I brought back to the show Al D'Andrea, who was on episode 3 of the Construction Industry Podcast. It feels like such a long time ago. Today, he shares his new product, which is called Root Task. It's basically a free application that helps you find the most efficient way to visit several clients as you drive around town. But I'll let him explain it to you. So here's my conversation with Al D'Andrea.
Good morning, Al. How are you?
Great, Caesar. Thanks for asking. How are you?
I am doing good. It's kind of early for me. Well, we're in the same time zone, I think. So it's, what, 8:30?
Eastern, 8:30. Yeah.
I guess that's not too early, but it feels like it. I haven't had my coffee yet.
my third one.
Oh, maybe that's what I should do. Get up earlier and have more coffee. So, Al, you were on the third episode of the Construction Industry Podcast, and back then we talked about web-based tools, and you mentioned that you were about to launch a service called Service Task, and you have since then. So, how's that going?
It's going really well. Service Task went live, you know, earlier this year, actually in January, and you know, we've had a great response so far. You know, hundreds and hundreds of users have come through, mm-hmm. and you know, from a wide variety of industries. Mm-hmm. Service Task is really focused on keeping, managing your customers, you know, tracking your history, as well as job scheduling. You know, focused on keeping that really simple. So it's something that you know, wide variety of industries struggle with. Mm-hmm. So it's not really industry specific to any one service-based business, but really solving the problem of efficiently scheduling, you know, multiple jobs for, you know, multiple crews out in the field. Mm-hmm. So we've had a great response so far. You know, it's an exciting time.
That's good. Yeah, I checked it out and it's really cool. I think there was a need there. There's a lot of web-based tools for project management, for example, Basecamp and others. But they're project specific, and I think there was something missing there when you know, managing individual projects as a whole. You know, how am I going to schedule all these together? Who's going to take care of them, and in what sequence? And I think Service Task fills that need really nicely.
Yeah, it does. It's especially when, you know, when businesses are dealing with recurring work, so jobs, you know, that you know, need to be scheduled for, you know, whether it be quarterly or bi-monthly, whatever it may be, you know, once you enter it in once and set up that schedule, it's there. Mm-hmm. So it's helpful.
Okay. And the link again is servicetask.com, right, for that service?
Yeah, correct. Servicetask.com.
Okay. But we're here today to talk about Root Task, which is something else that you launched. So why don't you tell us a little bit about that?
Okay. So Root Task is a completely free web-based tool that allows service businesses to enter in multiple addresses, you know, at one time, and then, you know, turn all of those job locations into, you know, the most efficient route plan. So it's a huge time saver, and obviously now with the price of fuel, allows business owners to you know, save time, money, mm-hmm. and fuel. Mm-hmm. So RouteTask is a standalone application. Anybody can use it. RouteTask.com, completely free. For all of those ServiceTask users out there, it fully integrates with ServiceTask. So, which means, you know, you can import all of your scheduled jobs, say for the day, out of ServiceTask into RouteTask, and automatically calculate the most efficient route for those jobs.
Okay. So I can see how it can integrate well with the service task, and that's neat. And you also said that it works for non-service tasks, service tasks users. Now, I use Google Maps usually. I just type in the addresses where I need to go. And how is this better or different?
Yeah.
Than just doing that.
Yeah, what we found is most service-based businesses were using tools like Google Maps and other online mapping services to you know, enter all their job locations, kind of seeing where they lay out on the map, and then manually reordering them to be the most efficient route. So where this really differs is the fact that we automatically calculate that for you. So it's just a matter of getting all of the addresses in, whether you manually enter them in or you import them via ServiceTask or CSV file, and then the tool kind of does all the work for you. So you just sit back and, you know, recalculate that route for the most efficient route. And then you can make, you know, changes. So if you say, hey, you know, yeah, that in a perfect world, this is a great route, but this job needs to be done a certain time. So you can make, you know, minor tweaks to your schedule, mm-hmm. but we do the majority of it for you.
Now, you said something really cool there. You can import a CSV file. So because, sometimes I need to go to, if it's just a couple of sites, that's fine. But if it's three or four or five, and if I have those addresses saved somewhere, let's say on an Excel spreadsheet, can I just import that file into RouteTask and you would do you calculate the smartest route for me to hit each one of those sites? Is that how it works?
That's correct. The CSV option is still being the functionality is still being worked on.
Mm-hmm.
We're not too far away, but you know, we will have that option. Right now, the ServiceTask integration is fully implemented. But yeah, so we thought that was important to include that, the ability to import a CSV file.
Now, that's really different and really cool. And I can see myself using that for sure. Now, what type of businesses do you think would benefit the most from RouteTask?
You know, businesses that obviously are doing a high volume of work. So, you know, businesses that may be hitting 5, 10, 15 different addresses in a day. Mm-hmm. And, you know, a lot of these businesses, you know, they don't have any specific times that they need to be at these jobs. So it's really just a matter of what makes the most sense from a route standpoint, from, you know, efficient, you know, being efficient. And, you know, what we found is the majority of businesses right now using it are businesses like that do a lot of exterior work where the homeowner or the business owner doesn't need to be there. And you know, for example, the landscaping industry has really embraced it. You know, any really exterior type home improvement or building service company can really benefit from a tool like this. So, but yeah, primarily it's been mainly exterior-based type businesses and businesses that do a high volume of jobs in a day.
Mm-hmm. And I see it's a free service too, is it?
Yeah, it's completely free, and it really will always be free. We wanted to really get this out there, to especially with the rising cost of fuel, to kind of give businesses an edge to you know, kind of combat that. So and we also saw the need, you know, for service task users to better be able to optimize, you know, their job routes. So
cool.
Yeah, so we built it. You know, it's out there and it's free for everybody to use.
Cool. Now, you launched ServiceTask and then RouteTask, and we were just talking about before the interview about a new service called ServiceKick that you're about to to launch, which we can cover on a future show, which is really cool, by the way. I'll leave the cliffhanger there. And I see a trend here.
Yeah.
So what are your future plans for web apps and for the construction and services industries?
Okay, so our goal is to have a suite of web-based apps, targeted towards small to medium-sized construction and service-based businesses that kind of cover all of these different needs that these businesses and problems that they're faced with. So we want to build this suite that all of our tools are very easy to use, very intuitive, and they really just solve a problem. So we're focusing on the core of what the tool has to do, and kind of give the business owner access to the suite at a very low price point, to be competitive. And there's really no one theme here, because ServiceTask is it's a business management tool. And ServiceKick, as you just mentioned, which is launching very soon, is more of a marketing tool. So it will help service and construction businesses better interact with their customers, and will help them collect customer testimonials and better share those around the web. So really things that everybody struggles with, we just want to provide them with a suite of tools to better help their businesses grow.
Very cool. And one thing that I think is really important and we didn't mention is that you yourself come from the industry, and these tools are they started as you trying to address a need that you had, correct?
Right.
Which
right.
Is,
I
think that's really cool. It's how we started too. So you know where the pains are and you're addressing them. That's fantastic.
Our family service business uses everything we build. We use it first. We test out. We currently use everything now that we've built. We're currently using. So we do drink our own Kool-Aid, so to speak.
Good. Now, if the listeners want to learn more about RootTask and about ServiceTask and about you, where should they go?
Okay, so our parent company is called New Service. That website is newservice.net, which all of our web-based tools can be accessed from. Mm-hmm. Learned about. ServiceTask, like we had said, servicetask.com, full free 30-day trial. You can go there, go into the tool, no strings attached, check it out, see if it works for your business. And same thing with RootTask, separate app, RootTask.com. Where you can have full access to that for free. And like I said, we're launching a new tool called ServiceKick shortly, and there'll be more to come.
Awesome. So I'll have links to all these links on the show notes for this episode. And Al, thank you again for being on the show, and I wish you all the best, and we'll catch up when ServiceKick comes out and we'll talk about that. How's that?
Sounds good. Thanks for having me, Cesar.
Thank you.
So that's it for today. Thank you once again for listening to the Construction Industry Podcast. The Construction Industry Podcast is produced by Remontech. Remontech provides remote monitoring for construction projects. You can visit the podcast website at constructionindustrypodcast.com and subscribe to the show there. It's free. We are also listed on a number of podcast directories such as iTunes and BlackBerry Podcasts, meaning you can subscribe there and listen to the show on the go on your smartphone. My name is Cesar Abate. Until next time.